Chapter 4. A Terrible Battle. Mr. Griffin did not appear again that morning. Downstairs, the inn became busier and busier. It was the day of the Whit Monday Fair, and many people were visiting Iping that day. Occasionally, there was shouting, and the noise of glass being broken, but Mr. Griffin stayed in the living room. No one dared to knock again or challenge him, but everyone was talking about him. They had all heard about the burglary at the vicar's house, and everyone felt sure that Mr. Griffin was responsible. Outside, there were many stalls and tents for the fair, and crowds of people were arriving. There were numerous visitors to the inn, and they all talked about the visitor, the burglary, and the strange story of furniture that moved. Occasionally, there was another shout or the sound of smashing glass. It was obvious that Mr. Griffin was becoming increasingly angry. Finally, at midday, the door to the living room opened. The people in the inn could see broken glass and bottles inside the room, and there was a strange smell. Mrs. Hall. Mr. Griffin shouted. Where is my lunch? Bring me something to eat immediately. Mrs. Hall felt secure in a room full of people. Do you want your bill for the room, Mr. Griffin? She asked. What do you mean, you stupid woman? He shouted. I told you I want some food, and I want it now. Why haven't you brought it? Why haven't you paid your bill? Mrs. Hall answered. You told me 3 days ago that you would pay me. You said you had no money. Well, I have some money now, answered Mr. Griffin and reached into his pocket. Oh, I wonder where you got that money, Mrs. Hall faced him. Is there a connection with the burglary at the Buntings' house last night? Mr. Griffin was clearly annoyed, but Mrs. Hall had confidence now, and she continued to talk. And what about my furniture? And you, how did you get back inside the house? This is my house, and I want to know who you are and what you are doing. Stop! Shouted Mr. Griffin violently and raised his glove. You stupid people, he addressed everyone in the inn. You don't understand who or what I am, but I will show you. He reached his hand towards his face, and, in a moment, there was only a black hole where his face should be. Here, he passed something to Mrs. Hall. She reached out her hand and then screamed when she saw what it was. It was his nose. She dropped it onto the floor and stepped back in horror. But he had not finished. Next, he removed the blue glasses, and then the hat. Finally, he removed the bandages. Everyone had expected to see scars or burns or marks, but instead, there was nothing. There was simply a coat and no head. Then the coat was on the floor and there was no one there. Everyone had been keen to solve the mystery, but now there was only horror and panic. The inn was filled with screams and people fighting to get away from the bandages and clothes. People were jumping on and over each other, as they were desperate to leave the inn. Outside, everyone at the fair stared at the inn as people ran out of the door screaming about ghosts, evil, and the devil himself. Soon, a crowd had gathered outside the inn, and one of them was Constable Jaffius. Move away, Constable Jaffius ordered the crowd. I will arrest the man who burgled the vicar's house. Wodgers had an iron bar in his hand and entered the bar with him. In the corner of the inn, both men saw a shadow and realized it was a headless figure who was holding bread in one hand and cheese in another. That's him, shouted Wodgers. Constable Jaffius was naturally shocked, but then announced, head or no head, the man is responsible for a burglary. He must be arrested. Keep away from me, shouted the figure without a head, putting down the bread and cheese. Then the strange figure ran towards the policeman and the blacksmith and began to hit them violently. Despite not being able to see all of Mr. Griffin, both men could feel him. They struggled to grab and hold him, and to stop him from hitting them. The man with no head was kicking and fighting, but two more men came into the inn and soon he could not move any more. The headless man was breathing heavily although they could not see his mouth. Okay, he said and stopped moving for a moment. But then he started to remove the clothes, the left glove and then the right, the socks and the shoes. This was followed by the coat. They seemed to move on their own, and the policeman was shocked to see that there was no longer a man in front of him, just a shirt hanging in the air. "It is just empty clothes," he announced in a shocked voice. "I can put my arm out like this," and Constable Jaffius reached out towards the figure above the shirt, and there was a scream.
"Oh!"
Mr. Griffin yelled. "That is my eye. It is still here even if you can't see it. I am here, legs, arms, body, hands, mouth, nose, and eyes. I am just invisible. It is very annoying, but I can't help it. It doesn't mean you can put your finger in my eye, does it? Invisible, are you?" Wodgis asked. "I have never heard anything like it." "It's not a crime," Mr. Griffin answered. "It doesn't mean you can grab and pull me and hit me just because I am invisible. I have done nothing wrong." "That's not the truth," argued Constable Jaffius. "There's been a burglary, and the person who did it was invisible. I think there's only one invisible man in Iping. And that's you." Suddenly, the shirt began to move, and the men realized that the invisible man was taking off his shirt. If he did that, they would no longer be able to see him. Constable Jaffius and Wodgis ran towards the shirt and other men followed them. They were all fighting with a shirt which hit and grabbed and kicked at them violently. Wodgis raised his iron bar, but he just hit another man. Everyone was shouting and fighting. "Hold him. Look out. Don't let him go." Everyone was hitting everyone else and trying to catch the invisible man. People were falling over and trying to grab the shirt. Then the shirt was lying on the floor alone and Constable Jaffius cried out, "I've got him. I've got him." However, the policeman's face began to go red and his body was pulled around and forced to the ground. The other men tried to help him, but the door was pushed open violently. A woman in the street was knocked to the ground and a dog barked as if it had been kicked. Then there was nothing. The invisible man was gone.